So today I'm going to be talking on Immortal Man from Neville. Now it's not going to be the entire book, but it's something that truly caught my attention when I started reading the book. And the book is about a certain thing which I'm going to test you on first, because it literally had me questioning, you know, about God, and is God truly in me and as me and through me? And so Neville, from his book Immortal Man, truly brought up some questions. So my first question to you, my dear friends, is, So I have to go back just a little bit. He talks a lot about Christ Jesus, because he sort of epitomized the Christian faith, but he has put it in such a wonderful way that he's made it almost a complete explanation of an integration of New Thought and Christianity and our science of mind, beliefs, kind of philosophy. It's just perfectly done. And so his questions, and, you know, he talks a lot about Jesus Christ, but he talks about Jesus Christ as the mystical aspect of Jesus Christ. And so my first question is, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Or I could put it another way. Do you know that Christ Jesus is in you? And you can give me a quick feedback on that. What do you think of Christ Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We are all one.
Okay. All right. That's a very good start. So if Christ Jesus or God or Buddha or what nature or the universe or spirit, energy, all right, any one of these could be, switched out, and anyone could fit perfectly there. All right, so if God is within us, or if we believe that God is in us, where in us is God?
Everywhere.
Every cell.
Okay. Any more? There is no way God is not.
God also is not, there is.
Very good. Very, very science of mine-y. I like it. You all are good students. Good students. Awesome. Well, could you identify? So I know God is everywhere and God is in every cell. But if we had to give a name or a label to God, what would that be?
Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Love.
Harmony.
Peace.
Yes. So.
Laughter.
So I'm going to go to the Bible. Acts chapter 17, verse 23, 27, and 28. Neville talks about, so when Paul stood in the courts of Areopagus, he said, "Men of Athens, I see the above all things that you have extravagant idols. For as I walked about and viewed the houses of your idols, I found an altar with this inscription: This is the altar of the unknown God. He therefore, while you know him not, but yet worship him, is the very one I am preaching to you." And then a little later on in verse 27, he said, "So that they should seek and search after God and find him by means of all his creations, because he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. And some of you, and some of your wise men have said, for we are his kindred." So keep that in mind as I go to John 1. And John 1 says, it's verse 1 to 4. The Word was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning, and that very Word was with God, and God was that Word. The same was in the beginning with God. Everything came to be by His hand, and without Him, not even one thing that was created came to be. The life was in Him, and the life is the light of men. And it's coming from the ancient Eastern text, Holy Bible. So that kind of started the curiosity, started to make some answers. Okay, so, you know, if God created the Word, the spoken Word, and God created the universe, and if everything is and is part of God, then of course, maybe yes, God is in me, all right? So I kind of thought about that a little bit, and then Neville decided to throw a little bit of a little shot. He said then, well, if the being who created and sustains the universe is in me, I want to find it. And he continued to say, I should devote all my life to the discovery of that being who occupies me, who created and sustains the universe, to whom all things are possible. Well, I'll tell you who he is. He is your own wonderful human imagination. So, intuition, what did you say? Intuition, inspiration. What's the very closest? We all have wonderful qualities of God in every way, but he's talking about the imagination. And so, yes, I am like really piqued now. So he said, your own wonderful imagination is the divine body of the Lord Jesus. So, of course, I know already, because I grabbed on to that information, that there is some truth to it. It has to be some truth to it, you know? And so, coming from my logic and from the way I feel, and I know how connected I feel to the universe. So then he said, well, now, test him and see, because he creates everything. So there isn't a thing in this world that wasn't first imagined. So we are in this room, and this room wasn't a room 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, right? Somebody had to sit down and imagine this room. And so he said, name it. Name anything that you know that's here right now that's not imagined. And he said, everything in the world that is now proven as something that is factual was once only an imagination. So you mean my imagination is the Lord Jesus? Yeah, your imagination is the Lord Jesus. But he's dreaming, and then he went into the dreaming kind of thing. He's dreaming this world. He's dreaming that he is you and you as him. He's dreaming whatever your experience is in this world. And so I had to talk a little bit about, okay, so who Jesus is, you know, because we want to just have a nice, smooth integration of, you know, yes, you know, everything is made, you know, God made everything. Jesus is God. God is in us. Jesus is in us. We are all one. There is just nothing outside of us. So, you know, in The Science of Mind, page 433 said, Jesus made the greatest claim upon God from anyone who has ever made claims. Jesus truly embodied the divinity of this universe, of God. And he demanded a complete and unreserved trust in the goodness and loving kindness of our Creator. So I decided to go to my Science of Mind textbook, page 87, And this is what I found about Jesus. So this is what Jesus meant when he said that man has inherent life within himself. The meaning of inherent life is real life, creative life, imaginative life, intuitive life, right? No limits can be placed upon the spirit of man. The spirit of man, the imagination of man, it all makes sense to me. You know, we talk about the width and the length and the breadth of God. And we talk about man being man and living forever. Well, what lives forever? What lives on forever is the spirit of God. It's God, all right? And so it merges with the universal spirit for the two who are really one. So God is in us as we are in God. We knew that. It's the same essence, and it's the same degree, which is, let me read this over. God is in us as we are in God. The same essence, the degree apparently different. The one finite and the other infinite. And since the infinite cannot come from the finite, it follows that the finite must come from the infinite. A little circle within a big circle. So it's a little bit of a tongue twister there. But then we went on to talk about, this is what Jesus meant when he said, as the Father has life within himself, so has he given to the Son who has had life within himself. This refers to the inherent life within us, our real life. And we must expect to find in man, therefore, the same inherent attributes that we find in the universe which from which we spring. So he was saying that a single drop of water is not the whole ocean, but it does contain within itself the same qualities and attributes of water. So we may not be the be-all and end-all of the magnanimity of God, but we are that droplet that has all the perfect and most beautiful attributes that God has. So in moving on, if Christ be in us, do I wait for objects to change? Or can I change those objects in me? Where do I start? Is it the outside or is it the inside? Where is our imagination? Could we imagine from an outside source? Could we even think that our imagination is outside of who we know as Gail, the psyche kind of individual, right? So each person has their own personal source of inspiration. It's that little circle within the bigger circle. We have all our godlike attributes. And from that godlike attributes come our perfect imagination, come our ideas, come our dreams, all right? So if we see changes to be made in our lives, do we make the changes from out there or do we make the changes from within, starting with our imagination? And so I'm telling you, when I thought about imagination, the external thing did not work at all for me. It had to always come from within. I had to start creativity from who I know. There is nothing external. And if I am that small little attribute of God, that little droplet in the big ocean of water, then everything must be internal. Everything, there is no outside. There is nothing out there. It always, it's just the one. So Neville talked about dreaming and imagination. And so he talked also about going into the imagination with a certain amount of confidence and a certain amount of knowing that, hey, this is my right. This is my link. This is the God link. This is who I am. And so he said, you know, experiment with it. You know, just don't take it for granted. He did a lot of experimenting in his earlier years, and he had a lot of dreams, a lot of visions, and then he started healing people who came to him with different problems, not only illness, but he laid claim to having people become really rich, he saw them in his imagination, and he fixed what needed to be fixed within the imagination, and he released it. Abraham Hicks talks a little bit about that. Abraham Hicks says, once you've made that connection, once you've made that imaginative, descriptive aspect of what you want, it's too late to turn back after that. It's already in reality. And the wheels have already started turning. And so that's, knowing that Christ is in us and that everything is God, then we have the option to change the things that we are wanting within our lives, to be fulfilled in our lives, because change can only come from our imagination. Change can only come from our intuition, our inspiration, our goals, our dreams, all right? And so Neville said, the power of believing is God himself. So God in man is man's own wonderful imagination. It's difficult for a man to make the adjustment, having been trained to turn on the outside to some God that he worships. So we go to church and the mind turns outward to some God and he paints a word picture, and then, we have, bowed and bended knees and supplications and so on. But that's not what the scripture really teaches. The scripture teaches that the power that creates the entire universe is not outside of man, but within man, as man, and as man's own wonderful human imagination. And I make a connection with that. I feel really good about that. So that is the creative power of the world, our imagination. Think about even the clothes you have on. Somebody came up with the style, the design, the fabric. You know, we have the basic cotton or linen or whatever, those, some basic natural fibers. But then we had to use our imagination to work with that, to come up with the texture, the softness, the harshness, the way it moves, We had to do all of that as part of our own imagination. And so all things exist in human imagination. So if the word God would turn out, so if the word God would turn you out, try to make the adjustment within yourself and begin to believe that the God of Christendom, so we know that with God, all things are possible, and God is your imagination. Then if God is your imagination and if all things are possible, then it should be possible for you. So I don't know if it makes sense. So, yeah. Did you get that?
Uh-huh.
Awesome. So I'm asking the question again. I think I have told it simply enough how you can test God. Neville is saying is that you need to enter into a state. All right? I think I have told it to you to the satisfaction of most people that we have to apply it. We are the operant power. We are the power in charge. of our own minds, our own imagination. It's the small mind within the big mind, but there are no borders, there are no boundaries. It's all God, but we can see a limited amount, and hey, that's because we have put on our human robes. We are walking a human life right now. And so with the operant power, he talks about, he gave one example about, he lived in San Francisco and wanted to just go to New York. And he said, if I really want to go to New York, you know, he might have been a businessman. I don't know a whole lot about him. But then he said, I'll just read you this little excerpt. He said, if my desire this night is to be in New York City, I say I can't afford the time, or maybe I can't afford it because of lack of funds, or maybe my commitment will tie me here. I don't know, yet my desire is to be in New York City. I must. If I would realize it in spite of the limitations that now surround me, which is the money, the lack of time, the obligations. So I must call it what you will. I still want to go to New York. So he's now saying I must enter into the image that is now something on the surface of my mind, something out there which is 3,000 miles away from San Francisco. Standing here, I must shut out the belief that I am in San Francisco. So in other words, he is saying, regardless of the fear, regardless of the lack that we might be experiencing, we are the operant power of our own minds. And we must be able to stand in our strength, stand in our beliefs, and see it happening. All right. So knowing New York City quite well, I would assume I am standing in a most familiar part of New York and let it surround me. I must be in it and then think of San Francisco after. So I must see it 3,000 miles to the west of me, as I now see New York City 3,000 miles to the east of me. And so if I go into that state and dwell in it and make it natural, though I remain in it only for a little while, a minute or so, then I open my eyes and I'm shocked to find that I'm still here. I came back, I have done it, I have entered into the state of my desire, and now I will move across the bridges of incidents, series of events that would lead me and compel me to take the journey. So in other words, he has grounded himself in that imagination, and he has let it go. And he has let it go to the effect that he now knows that things are going to line up. Incidents, events are going to line up to suit his, to suit what his out picturing is. And that's how he did his healing, you know. He asked, where do you want to be? And he saw his patient or his client or his congregants where they wanted to be. And he imagined them. If they were unemployed, he imagined them fully employed and working for so much more money than they think they could even afford. And he says, this is the picture I have in my imagination for you. Because my imagination is where creativity starts. And if creativity starts there, then that's the beginning of a new life for you. And he releases it for his clients and asks them to keep that focus for their lives as well. All right? So so as you imagine, you want to be able to... Okay, so now he's saying this also. Now I am not saying it is the easiest thing in the world for you to accept this. It will come to those who have never heard it before as blasphemy or as, oh my goodness, what you're talking about, crazy lady, right? So it will come as a shock to a lot of people, an awful shock. When a man who is trained to believe in an external God to whom he bows or to him whom he prays, then to discover that he is not on the outside at all right? As we are told in Scripture, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells within you? That you are God's Spirit? Well, if God is Spirit and His Spirit dwells in you, you can divide it into different kinds of Spirit. Oh, you cannot divide it into different kinds of Spirit. God is Spirit and His Spirit dwells in me. It has to be one, only one. Now, if this Spirit dwells in me, I try to find out what this Spirit is in me that I can call by another name, by a name that is more intimate. And, of course, we call it imagination. So I imagine as you do, okay? We cannot imagine differently. We all have to imagine the same. Now, our content of our imagination would be definitely different. All right? Everybody have different lives, different circumstances. So the differences lie in our content. So my response to the eternal question of who am I will determine the circumstances of my life. So I must accept, so who am I? Am I the little one that was born on a tiny unknown island? I think he was a Caribbean person. Yes. Yeah, St. Vincent or something. With no social, intellectual, financial background? Must I accept the limitations of my birth? Well, most people do. But have I read Scripture? Did I read the words that I am the temple of the living God and that the Spirit of God dwells in me and that all things are possible? That excited me a lot. So, well, I should not allow anything to interfere with my discovery of the Spirit of who I know I am. I am God in the human form. Welcome. I am God expressed as me in all her humanness. So, let's not be, maybe disappointed that we are at the point we are. I'm talking to myself sometimes, most times, because life is an evolution. We are constantly moving forward. And when our imagination, knowing now that our imagination literally rules the world, literally rules our lives, then we can come from it from a different point of view. All right? So as Neville mentioned, I don't differ in the act of imagining from you or any being in the world. The only difference will have to lie in the content of my imagining. What am I imagining? If I imagine something little and feel sorry for myself, all right, life will prove that I had every reason in the world to feel sorry for myself, because the blows will come to me. And I will turn to the one who gave me the blows and blame him and blame them when the blame, if any, is really in myself. For had I not imagined what I have imagined, I could not encounter the conditions I encountered. So this is, he's talking about his spiritual law. However, we know that life continues to evolve and we can never stay in one spot. So even if we think we didn't create a situation, we have this moment and the next moment and the next moment always to make our lives different, make our lives choose differently for our lives. And so, with our imagination, Neville wants us to know that, I'll read the last one here. He said, examine yourselves. This is from Corinthians. Examine yourselves whether you are in the same faith. Heal your souls. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? If so, if this is not so, then you are rejected. But I trust that you shall know that you are not rejected. So this is obviously the you know, this written, inspired 2,000 plus years ago. He also wanted to say that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all, always. And of course, that is very true, right? Because if God, our imagination, our dreams, our goals, our ideas are internal and very intimate to us, then everything God is, including the Holy Spirit, including the truth that God stands for, including everything that we know to be perfect in this world, would be part of our experience. And last but not least, I wanted to just share a little bit about fear. So we imagine, and we imagine our lives the way we want our lives to be. You know, we are the, as what I've heard at one time, the authors and finishers of our own faith. We choose what we want to see in our own lives. However, Neville sort of indicates that sometimes instead of staying in the imagination and going deep into the imagination, we kind of daydream. We do a little daydream. And although daydreaming is not bad, if we keep just touching the surface, then there is not, you know, strong true roots to what our yearnings are, to what our imaginations are. And some of the things about daydreaming is that sometimes we allow fear to block us. So I'm just going to read something from a passage from The Science of Mind concerning fear. Fear blocks the more complete givenness of the spirit to the highest form of manifestation on this planet. The highest form of manifestation is us, mankind. Fear arises from the mental attitude which limits the possibilities and the willingness of spirit to give us the good we greatly desire. There is nothing wrong in the desire for self-expression. There is nothing wrong in imagining. There is nothing wrong in using our imagination as our creative expression. God is more completely expressed through the man who lives largely than through the one who lives meagerly. So instead of opening up and having a wonderful funnel for the expression and the flow of imagination and the flow of ideas and the flow of creativity, sometimes, you know, as Reverend Trish says one time, you know, we open up here. We know it. We have it. We understand that it all comes from God. But because of all the fear and because of we don't have the money and because we don't have the time, we start causing a funnel to happen. And so we squeeze our good. We squeeze our the expression that we are supposed to have. We pull it right in and make it a funnel. So we still see our good, but it comes dripping in small amounts. Mm-hmm. All right? And so what Ernest Holmes is saying is be open. God is more completely expressed through the man who lives largely. And living largely doesn't mean living out of your means, because with God, then there is nothing out of your means. If you got it, you got it, right? However, if you're living largely, you're opening and you're being truly expressive and understanding that this is my source. This is where God comes, than through someone who lives meagerly. So with that, I think I wanted to just share one more thing, and it's one of the meditations at the back. So, do you any questions? Because I think I'm wrapping up, and I have one last thing to say besides this little verse.
Do you want us to ask questions
then? Yes. Any questions from you?
First of all, he's from Barbados.
Barbados, thank you.
Secondly, you know, I was intrigued by the statement, I guess I've never heard this before, that in his imagination, he would imagine people well. I mean, isn't that like the third step of treatment?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if we have that imagination to create change in other people, that can sometimes be a negative change, right?
I guess. So, I guess you would use your goodwill and your passion to see great things happen in the world and use it for positive change. And this is where he allows people to say what changes they need in their lives, and he imagines it for them, you know, and he supports them in his imagination,
uh-huh.
You know. So I think that's what it is. Thank you, Judy.
I wondered, because a lot of times that's what I do now. Instead of using words, I just use pictures, mental pictures, mm-hmm. when I'm treating for somebody. And I wonder, you know, that's really kind of Neville-like, isn't it?
That's very Neville-like. And you know, I thought about you a lot when I was going through this whole process, because, you know, it looks like you do a lot of mindless stuff with your crochet.
No, with that in a good way.
In a very good way, with your knitting and the crocheting. But that is one of the biggest portals for imagination and creativity, because you don't have your mind bogged down with other stuff. It's just clear. It's just open. And you're just going and you're just doing stuff. Another thing that can help is also doing coloring. People could sit and color. And I have found that has been like one of my best friends recently. I just love coloring, because it clears me. It clears my mind, and it causes me to have richer, better ideas, you know. So I've started doing a lot of like the mandala colorings, and I mean, at the end of it, it's just beautiful. You know, some people sit and they put little paper clips. They just put paper clips together, just make long lines of paper clips. Just so many different things, just to release not tension, but maybe release the tension from thinking too much, because imagination, as we know it, is free-flowing. It's the energy of the universe. It's the creative energy. It was there in the beginning. It started everything, and it will always be there, regardless of the body that it, encapsulates. You know, right now it's our human body, but then when our body is laid to rest, guess what? Imagination is still there. Imagination could never die. Imagination is all in all. There is not a spot where imagination is not. You know? It's all God. It's all our creativity. It's where it all starts. And so there is no place in the world more holy than where you are right now. For wherever you are, God is there. We are all right here, right? There is no church built with human hands comparable to the temple that we are. And ye are the living God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. What temple in this world made with human hands could compare to our temple, the temple that we have as our creative expression, our creative God self? I mean, we got it. We really, really got it. It's just, is just knowing and trusting like Jesus. Jesus truly showed what trusting and being the perfect example of following his divinity, being allowing God, allowing himself to be the one, and knowing that he and God are one. He said, I and my Father are one. And just like we birth kids, some of us, right? It's also a birthing process with our imagination, all right? We bring forth creativity. Every day is a creative birthing and rebirthing of our ideas. And so, this is the last statement. This is what I mean by imagination. I identify my own wonderful human imagination when I say I am speaking of all, for everyone's imagination. So I identify our imagination as God. That, to me, is the Lord Jesus. He is buried in us, as us, and one day will rise in us, not as something external to ourselves, but he will rise in us, as us, after we've gone through the furnaces of experiences in this now world. So rising is allowing our imagination to birth, to bring forth, and seeing our God selves. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Okay, sure. So if we don't mind, I'm gonna have Lorianne. Am I singing now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can. Lorianne is going to close this first part of the meeting.
Yes, I will.
And open the next.
Thank you.
As we sing about the limitlessness of our imagination and how fear can funnel us, this song is just right along the lines of that we are no longer slaves to our fear, and that we are children of God. That's what it says. So,
yeah.
I will. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood runs through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Child of And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Today, believe you really, really are a child of God. Be open to the fullest expressions of God and not be funneled and closed in with fear. That's where fear wants us in the imagination. We are not going to allow it. Just be open and expressive. Thank you.
Thank you.